You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
I'm here at Radio Park in Racine, and also Dom is at Civic Media's world headquarters in Madison. You can always reach us, call or text. You can do both at 855-752-4842. You can also leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Want to thank everybody at Civic Media.
Yes.
We had an army working behind the scenes yesterday. We had a whole bunch of technical problems that we were trying to do as we were live yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Unable to hear anything, which in an audio medium is challenging.
And I gotta say, you guys were pros. You guys were pros yesterday. You guys handled business. You guys did great.
Well, thank you so much, Dom. It's called tap dancing.
Luckily, no one could hear all the swearing.
All of the cursing going on in the background, which was not necessarily FCC compliant. So, yeah, it was a flurry of activity. Yeah. And thanks to everybody who joined us yesterday and who stuck with us. Thank you for your patience. And we ended up having to do a rerun at the last minute for the last half an hour of the show. And we ended up running a Tisbat that ran on Fridays. So that was connected to the Free Ticket Fridays, and there was confusion with that, so we apologize. And again, thank you for your patience and for sticking with us.
And I want to send a special thank you, shout out to Luke Mathers and Drew,
and Rich Lacasio
as well, who are all like doing everything they could
like maniacs.
All the questions, and at one point, Luke was asking me questions that were very, very simple in their nature. Of like, did you do this thing? He's like, I'm sorry. I'm like, no, ask me every question you need, because it could. That was the big fear. Oh, also, big shout out to Shali Pittman, our news director, and Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez
who waited the whole half an hour.
But yeah, it was just that moment of like, is it something I did?
Well, we both had that thought. It's like, is there one little button somewhere that I forgot to plug in? You know, it's that fear of, oh God, I broke it.
On today's show, we offer this new deal where you can call into the show and we can hear you. All right.
It's an advancement in radio that we've been shooting for for a long time.
Yes, indeed.
Audio. It's a good thing. So again, you can join us at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Coming up on the show today, we are hoping to be joined by our friend and colleague and travel companion, Todd Alba, host of the Todd Alba Show after the 9:30 news. And then in hour number two should be a very interesting discussion with Dr. Ben Weston, who is the chief health policy advisor for Milwaukee County, and also Jim Case, who's the fire chief for Wauwatosa. Mm-hmm. And they're going to talk about flood cleanup.
Yes, yes. We're going to get, and please send your questions. We'd love to hear from you. You can text them in, you can call them in, you can send a voice note. We talked about this with Brittany last week. This is something, especially southeastern Wisconsin, because we have not seen this hardly ever with regard to flooding. We need to get used to this. Therefore, it's best to have plans in place, whether you do want to invest in flood insurance, whether you want to look at, you know, maybe reinforcing your basement, or just having the basic necessities around squeegee mop.
Yes.
Squeegee mop. You know, batteries.
Bleach.
Canned food. Like, and it sounds very whatever, but really you don't think about it. And you said it best on the show last week, is when you have no power, you can't do anything because
you can't see anything.
So, yeah, it's just we're going to be talking to them about this. Please send your questions and comments. These are public officials.
Yep.
These are not politicians.
Right. We're not talking about the politics of it. We're talking about on the ground.
Exactly. So. Exactly. So, yes, at 10 o'clock, we're very, very excited to have them on the show.
Also, then we never got to this yesterday because we ended up playing a rerun.
Yeah.
At 10:35 for Audio Sorbet, our friend and colleague and host of Amicus, the Law Review. Thank you, Dom. Wow. Jim Santel is going to join us about food discoveries late in life.
Yeah. And there is a wonderful, wonderful story that goes with this audio sorbet.
Yeah.
And it's very unusual for Mr. Santel to join us for a non-law related segment. So This is going to be very fun. 10:35 audio survey. What's a food that you discovered late in life, or a food you thought you didn't like, and it just
it grew on you.
All of
a sudden, it's like, oh, I love blank.
Exactly. Yeah, you can text that in. You can call it in. We'd love to hear from you. But that story with Jim Santel is going to be very, very fun.
And then we'll wrap up the show as we always do with This Shouldn't Be a Thing, the special delivery edition.
Yes.
So if you can, please stay tuned for that. Talking about the weather, and again, in hour number two, we'll talk about this more extensively. But Milwaukee County spokesperson, says officials have heard unconfirmed reports. Unconfirmed reports that FEMA is expected to arrive in southeastern Wisconsin later this week.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see.
I, you know, for the sake of the municipalities and the people, I hope something
comes.
Gosh,
I hope so too.
But my concern is what we've seen coming out of Texas, Arkansas, North Carolina. I mean, I don't believe any FEMA money went to California for the wildfires, and
isn't Western North Carolina still waiting?
Yeah, I mean there's a lot. Let's put it this way: there are people in line ahead of us now who are waiting for some sort of funding to come through. And while I'm happy to see that FEMA will be on the ground, and I really hope that the people who are here from that organization are the ones with the true message and mission at heart. It seems like a lot of these organizations, these, I should say, departments in the government now are being populated by individuals who share the president's vision of austerity.
Well, that's why they're there.
You're on your ownitude.
Yes.
And whatnot. But I just really, really, really hope that the people can get some relief from them.
Governor Evers announced last week he is requesting a joint preliminary damage assessment from FEMA, which then determines if Wisconsin will meet the threshold, which is necessary for a presidential disaster declaration. Mm-hmm. That plays into two about reporting damage.
Yeah. Yes.
And we go back to that 211
yes.
phone number that they ask you to call. But at least last week, there was such a volume of calls and a lot of calls went unanswered. You can also do it online, which is what I ended up doing. It's super easy.
Yeah. It's probably going to be your easiest way. You're going to have to sit on the phone. Just do it online. And that way then also, there is an electronic version of it then. I don't know if when you did it, do they send you a copy of your report to you so you have it as far as your records? I mean, that would be something to be interesting to know. But I just think doing it online allows them to compile easier as well. And it saves you money.
And again, this whole is about showing the federal government that there was enough damage to justify getting help from FEMA.
Yes.
Which is why they're asking all of us who were affected by this to report the damage. So far, people have filed more than 17,000 damage reports, with early damages in Milwaukee County alone estimated at over $23 million. I saw the $30 million price tag yesterday.
Yeah.
Still a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
There was one, this is from WPR. And I want to just give them credit for this. And we've talked, again, as more stories come out about this and the damages that people have suffered. Eric Truss lives next to the Menominee River in Wauwatosa. He woke up the morning of August 10th to 7 feet of water in his basement. 7 feet. It's really hard to even wrap your head around that. And I've seen other stories that said, not only did we have some areas, and I believe this was particular to West Allis, perhaps, floors of water up to the joists in the basement, and then another foot of water on the first floor.
I mean, that right there is
10, 12 feet of water.
Yeah.
It's just.
That's the deep end of a pool.
Just crazy.
Yeah.
This I find very interesting. We do have a letter from Gwen Moore, who's a Democrat. Mm-hmm. And Brian Stile, who is a Republican, also U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin, calling on FEMA to act without delay. They sent this letter, all three of them, Gwen Moore, Brian Stile, and Tammy Baldwin, sent it to Kristi Noem, who is the head of the Department of Homeland Security, which oversees FEMA. Ron Johnson did not sign that letter.
Yeah.
Well, because climate change isn't real, I guess. A spokesperson for Johnson did not respond to a request for a comment before deadline. In a post on August 11th on Twitter, Johnson addressed the storm and wrote that everyone in Wisconsin needs to monitor flood warnings to protect themselves and their families. Mm. Thank you to the first responders working to keep Wisconsinites safe. Okay.
So this is an interesting juxtaposition of responsibilities versus opinions and personal values, because Ron Johnson, I believe, is a very you got to do it on your own type person, bootstraps type person.
Yeah, fix it yourself. What do you want, handouts?
But as a congressman, as a senator, it is your responsibility to lobby. One of your jobs as an elected official is a lobbyist. You lobby on behalf of your state, your district, to get what you need, whether it's money, project, those kinds of things. And I would like for someone out there in the world to explain to me the political ramifications for him adding his name to this, because it just seems like a no-brainer. I mean, whether we get the money or not is a different conversation. But Ron Johnson putting his name on the letter, along with Brian Steil, thank you, Congressman Steil.
We'll get to him in a minute.
But putting his name on there does, I don't believe, causes him political capital. I don't think is going to be punishable by the GOP. So his inability or his
refusal,
resistance from adding his name to this simple letter saying, can you please help us, the government, with the tax dollars that we pay into, it's baffling to me. It's not surprising. It's not surprising because he consistently does things where you say this is common sense and a no-brainer.
And why wouldn't you do this on behalf of your constituents?
Yeah, I would love to ask Tammy Baldwin, have you gotten a call? Have you made a call to Senator Johnson? Have you had this conversation regarding FEMA money? And does she have any sort of information to share with us? Because to me, when a state is this affected, of course the senators are going to talk to each other. They're going to talk to the governor. They're going to talk to the congressman.
There would be conversations going on because, again, no matter what R or D behind your name, you are supposed to serve all of your constituents.
Yeah. Yes. Yes.
All of us.
It just seems like a no-brainer, and maybe I'm a no-brainer. Maybe I don't know what's going on, but it just, for me personally, feels very much like this is a simple thing to say, to put your name on, and a simple ask, a standard operating procedure ask, if you ask me.
Absolutely.
And then you go on and you do your day and you talk about, you know, 9/11 and the vaccine injured. You can go back to what you're doing, and which is Fox News, News Nation, all those things. And just simply sign your name, do what else you need to do.
Well, he must have thought that this would come back and bite him somehow, right? Yeah. Because again, looking for a reason why he would not sign on to this, he must assume that someone would be able to use it as a reason to attack him.
And that goes back to a simple thing we've seen in the past few months of asking a simple question and cannot get a yes or no answer. It's like, this is easy. Why can't you just say yes?
Shouldn't be hard.
Agreed.
Derek Van Orden is back.
Town Hall?
He was actually seen in person, not by constituents.
Oh.
We'll talk about that on the other side. Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Good morning and welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Mock, Dominic Lee coming to you respectively from our home at Radio Park in Racine. Also, Dominic holding things down in Fort Calvin, who's still on vacation. He's back later this week.
Where did you say he was at?
Calvin's on vacation.
He's on a vacation. We don't know where he's at. He wouldn't tell us. We're like, where are you going? And he just kind of looked at me, stared me deep into my soul, yeah. Actually. It was very odd.
And wouldn't tell you.
And then the next thing I know, he was gone.
Calvin will be back later this week. We're delighted to have Dominic Lee holding things down for us, producing from Madison Civic Media's world headquarters there on State Street. Just a reminder, too, we do have some baseball. There was a win yesterday.
Jane, I know baseball isn't what your go-to, but in baseball parlances, what yesterday was a shellacking.
Oh, shellacking. The official term.
7-0.
Nice.
Our number one first place Brewers. Headed by nine. Yep. 79 victories, I believe we are at right now. Beat the second place Cubs. handily. It was supposed to be a double header, but because of the rain and the lack of roofing.
Today it's going to be a double header.
Yeah. And so yeah, today at 1:20, there'll be a game, and then 7:05 as well. And Jane, we got details on that
We do. Our broadcast, again, for this afternoon's game, the Brewers at the Cubbies, our broadcast will start at 12:45. And then that second game, Brewers at the Cubbies, later on, our broadcast starts at 6:30. You can't listen on the stream. You do have to listen on terrestrial radio, but you can catch those games, both of them, today on WRCE in Richland Center. If you're in Oshkosh, and WISS in Hayward on WBZH, WCQM Park Falls, and here in Racine and Kenosha on WRJN. So again, we got the Brewers at the Cubs. Our broadcast, first broadcast, starts at 12:45. Second broadcast coming up at 6:30. We do have news on the way in just a little bit. Then Todd Alba will be here to kick around mail-in voting.
You know, that
it's got to be killed.
You know that super safe thing that we've been doing for a very long time?
And the Republicans were really excited about it last year.
They really, really liked it.
They really did. Not anymore, though.
And then they had a conversation in Alaska about something fish. I don't know, with some guy. Mm. I can see his house from there.
Yeah, that's right. Well, we'll talk about that with Todd after 9:30, but wanted to get a mention in this. Pat Kreitlow mentioned it this morning on his show, Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. This is from WEAU in Eau Claire. Derek Van Orden held roundtable discussion in Eau Claire. Now, that headline might lead you to believe that this was open to the public.
No.
No, it wasn't. No. It was a business roundtable in Eau Claire.
Yeah.
Where business owners were invited. You don't want just these willy-nilly business owners showing up.
Sorry. I pulled up in ahead of time the press release from the U.S. Chamber of Commerce. Mm-hmm. And they refer to it as a roundtable discussion in Eau Claire, Wisconsin, with local business leaders on the pro-growth business tax provisions in President Trump's one. I really want echo when we do that.
That'd be nice.
One Big Beautiful Bill Act. Yeah, it was a private event where not a single constituent could go unless you were on that list invited and
I believe
a paying dues member. There were caveats. This was not a man of the people speaking to his constituents. This was him telling a bunch of their people who voted for them, hey, we're doing a good job. And they're like, yeah.
Well, and as Pat pointed out on his show this morning, so Derek Van Orden was reportedly touting these tax breaks for businesses.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the first Trump administration passed these tax cuts for businesses, which were permanent.
Correct.
The tax breaks for the middle class and the rest of us, those expired.
Well, we don't want to give you too much.
Well,
Jane.
Exactly. Let's not get kooky.
Yeah.
So the tax breaks for us expired.
Mm-hmm.
The tax breaks for the businesses were set to expire until they came up with the big blob of a bill.
Yeah.
Which then essentially kept those permanent tax breaks for business in place. So he's claiming your tax would have gone up by X percent. Well, that's because Trump cut your taxes by X percent the last time he was in office.
Yes.
And this is what they tend to do with a lot of these measures is it's all good for business and the ultra wealthy. Mm-hmm. We want those changes made permanently. If it's for the rest of us, well, 2-3 years, that's good enough.
Well, and this goes back to the old adage of, you know, if we give these businesses the tax cuts forever, guys, just wait. You'll be showered in money. The savings they have, they will pass along to you.
Oh, yeah.
In price decreases, right. Jobs, benefits.
Your wages are going up, baby. Yeah.
And what was interesting is if you listen to that segment Pat talked when he talked about it, and I would like to talk to him next Tuesday about this as well, but he brought up a story about New Coke with Parker, his producer.
Yes.
And what I cannot get this out of my brain. I cannot stop thinking about those two topics in that same segment because New Coca-Cola puts out New Coke. The public overwhelmingly says, no.
We hate it.
So what does New Coke do? They say, all right, we'll give you Coke Classic back. Here you go. Our bad, our mistake. Derek Van Orden is an elected official of the people, of the 3rd District of Wisconsin in the United States. He is voting currently for things that are wildly unpopular by the people. How does it that Coca-Cola, billion-dollar brand, has more invested with the people's ideas and their will to buy their product than Derek Van Orten, who says, I don't care what you think, and I'm going to lie my face off to get me there.
He must feel pretty comfy in that seat.
Oh, indeed.
You know what would help him to stay in that seat? Getting rid of mail-in voting.
Yeah.
We should just, mail-in voting is bad, 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 bad.
Yeah.
Well, except for last year. We're going to kick that around with our friend and colleague and travel companion, Todd Alba, after the news. Stay with us. You're listening to Matt and Air on Air, coming to you across the vast, statewide, countrywide, pick us up around the world on the Civic Media app. Good morning, and welcome to Matt and Air on Air. Jane Matt and Air, Greg Bach, Dominic Lee in Fort Calvin, coming to you from our respective studios at Radio Park in Racine and also Civic Media's world headquarters in Madison. You can always join us. You can call or you can text. You can do both today at 855-752-4842 or leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. An hour from now is the segment that we call Audio Sorbet, where we lighten things up and take a breath and get away from the news. We're going to talk about foods you discovered late in life.
We're far away.
Jim Santel, our colleague here at Civic Media, who does Amicus, a law review on Saturdays, 9 to 11. We saw Jim Santel over the weekend. He discovered a new food. He did not know this existed. This was novel for him.
He was so interested. And if you're interested in finding out what that food was, have to tune in. It was both the funniest and the most adorable thing I've seen in a while.
So cute. So, yes, we're going to talk about foods you discovered late in life. You can always text those in now if you'd like, if you're not going to be able to join us at 855-752-4842. He joins us every other Tuesday at this time to talk all things news. The host of the Todd Alba Show from 2 to 4 across the network. Todd Alba is here. Good morning, my friend.
Good morning, Jane. Wait, is my mic on? Can you hear me or not?
We can hear you.
Yeah. All right, awesome, fantastic. I can't hear myself, but yeah, I can hear. As long as you can hear me, we're all good.
Welcome to our yesterday.
Yeoman's job down there. I felt bad for you because I've been in similar positions, maybe not that for that long, but I knew something was wrong when I came into the Madison studios, and where Dom had been sitting, blood everywhere. And I thought, well, this could not have been good. This was not good.
I was a little nervous too.
There was a lot of frantic activity going on behind the scenes yesterday as all of our engineers and everybody trying to get our issues resolved.
At one point, I was trying to work on something and I accidentally spilled and broke Jane's coffee mug and completely forgot about it. And then later, producer Jacob, who does the Maggie Dawn show, which is 4 to 6 Monday through Friday here on the Civic Media Radio Network, he says, Why is there a broken coffee mug and sticky floor here? I'm like, oh, that's one of the many things I forgot about because the entire studio imploded on us.
Yeah, I have more coffee cups.
That was the least of our problems.
Yeah, seriously. Yeah. Now I got to use my new butternut coffee cup. So right? From
that's
our trip
fantastic.
from Butternuts. So
before we go any further, also may I say, Greg Bach, you look fabulous. I mean, he has a new summer do. I tuned in yesterday because I thought, well, maybe my app wasn't working, and so I'm knocking it around. I'm going to the live stream, and then I said, well, clearly this is the cause of the problems. Greg has a whole new look, and nobody can handle it. You look great.
Doesn't he, though?
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
A little hair clippy, a little beard clippy. Yep. He looks very, very nice.
Yeah. I'm going for early 90s failed comedian look, you know, just or be in a band.
You're almost there.
Failed comedian. I know.
There's a little bit of All the Family Rob Reiner there. Just a little bit.
There it is.
You know,
Some of those vibes.
We'll blame my dashing good looks on the technical difficulties. I'll take that.
We'll go with that. Whatever works. We are delighted to have you here. And one of the things we wanted to talk about, President Trump, who of course takes his best advice from Vladimir Putin, the president of Russia. Vlad reinforced Trump's belief that mail-in voting is bad, And mail-in voting is nothing but corruption, and everyone who votes by mail is cheating. And therefore, Vlad says mail-in voting is bad, so Donald Trump now wants to get rid of mail-in voting. And Wisconsin's own Brian Stile weighing in on this, saying we should take a look at that.
Yeah, it's pretty shocking. I watched the entire gaggle, as they say, where the press all gathers around in the Oval Office yesterday. And yeah, okay, so it went better than the first time that Volodymyr Zelensky, the president of Ukraine, showed up, because there was no, you don't have the cards and all that nonsense. They actually, you know, got along for the cameras. But the press was fatuated. You know, it was for Ukraine. I get that. I watched it. What I find really interesting is, for people that know me, they know I'm a big, I guess it's just a lifelong thing. I watch a lot of CBS. And so I watched the CBS News special report, John Dickerson, who I think is a great anchor reporter. He actually has spoken out about the Skydance Paramount merger. And the post that, you know, when they come back to the studio after the whole thing is over, all they talked about was the Ukraine stuff. And okay, there was some, I would call it moderate news at the most. Okay, we're sitting down with the European leaders, yada, yada, yada. It was just like the whole thing up in Alaska, in my opinion. It was kind of a whole nothing burger, other
Absolutely.
Than the United States diplomacy being embarrassed, and you're putting Vladimir Putin back on the world stage and literally using U.S. Marines to roll out the red carpet for him.
I just want to stop you right there. I want to stop you right there. Just to point out, we had U.S. Marines on their hands and knees rolling out the red carpet for Vladimir Putin. Didn't do that for Zelensky yesterday when the president of Ukraine met with him, but we rolled out the red carpet for
literally
for Vladimir Putin.
Yeah. So it was pretty sick, in my opinion. So during this press conference or gaggle, it was on Ukraine. At one point, I believe it was a Fox News reporter asked Zelensky, will you be willing to hold elections? And to summarize, to paraphrase, Zelensky said, yes, sure, of course, but first we have to have peace, because you can't have a legitimate election when a third of your country is unable to vote because they're occupied by a foreign country.
Right.
And Trump picks up on this and says, wait a minute. So you're saying in 3 years, if we have something going on here, no elections. Good. Mm-hmm. Good, he said. And then Zelensky kind of nervously laughed, and everybody kind of nervously laughed, and they move on, right? And so I'm like, well, that ain't good, because we know the pattern, right? Because, you know, he jokes about something, then it kind of isn't a joke, and then it happens. And then he goes on, which I think is more disturbing, which he says, a tangent, he says that he's working on an executive order, which he intends to sign, which will end all mail-in balloting voting across the country.
Which he can't do that.
Well,
he can sign an executive order, but
sure.
States' rights, Todd. What about states' rights? Well, states handle their own elections.
It'll all come down to the Supreme Court, and I'm not sure about you, but I have no particular faith that those people will uphold the right thing.
Yeah.
The majority, the six, at least the majority of the six conservatives. So you're right. Technically, he can't do that, but he's going to try. And I think what's important to your point, Jane, you're exactly right, is that it's a signal to Republican governors and Republican legislators, i.e. Greg Abbott in Texas and Ron DeSantis in Florida, because you're right, Jane. States can change that. States can end that. And he said the quiet part out loud yesterday, Trump did, that, hey, you know what, if we don't have mail-in balloting, it makes it really difficult for Democrats to win. So I'm sorry, that's kind of a longer explanation you wanted, but you're right, Stile, who sits on the committee that oversees federal elections, he gets on and he said, I support President Trump in doing this. And also I saw U.S. Senator Marsha Blackburn, a Republican out of Tennessee, she immediately jumped on board as well.
There's a shock, yeah.
If you're just joining us on Matt and Air on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network, we are talking to Todd Alba, who is the host of his own show on 2 p.m. to 4 p.m., the Todd Alba Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. He is resplendent, by the way, in Brewers attire and loving the fact that the Brewers are number one. I'm just going to point that out really quick. But I want to get back to
Just as long as you mentioned that, I have this in my pocket.
Is it a giant communion host? Oh, it's a pocket pancake. Yeah, baby! I thought it was a giant communion host. Okay.
It's the perfect thing for a morning matinee on air breakfast treat, a pocket pancake.
Seriously? A cold pancake?
We're not entertaining Jane's crazy questions right now, okay?
That's a whole other argument. We could do a whole... I think I have an audio gripe about pocket pancakes.
We were all on board with pocket pancakes before, and now all of a sudden you're anti-pocket pancake?
But pulling the cold pancake out of your... there's just some crimes. There's food crimes there. I haven't narrowed it down yet, but we'll think about that.
But I'd like to hook this back to this conversation about mail-in voting to something that is immediately pops into my mind. First of all, let's just say there's a version of this story that ends all mail-in ballot. I'll make it simple. There's a version of this story that makes it that you can only vote on the day registered in this country, period. That's it. You get rid of all other kinds of voting. The amount of people this is going to affect, including their own voters,
yes,
is something, once again, they are not thinking about. And then my other thought goes to Mr. Brian Schimming, who in December of 2023 in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, when he first took the job as the head of Wisconsin GOP, said all sacred cows are on the table. And one of the things he talked about with regard to their party and their inflexibility was mail-in voting. And he was pushing the move in 24 slowly. And then Donald Trump seemed to endorse it, and it got more traction. People got behind it, and mail-in ballot was a thing they were endorsing. So now they have to change course again and say, well, sorry, everything we said a year and a half ago, we were wrong. I know they're not even going to address the issue in the first place, but it goes back to my original point, is the amount of people that will be affected by this is astronomical, and that includes people who want to vote for them.
Yeah. Well, and for one thing, the W word is never going to cross his lips, that they were wrong.
Oh.
You can't ever say that.
Yeah,
you can't ever, ever, ever say that you were wrong. It's we're going to take another look at.
Yes,
Not that I screwed up or I made a mistake. Yeah. It's like this, we need to have another look at this. And it's interesting, Greg, because Republicans in part credit early voting, including mail-in voting, for Trump's 2024 win, and they spent months and months and months pushing Republican voters to vote by mail. But now, since Daddy Putin says that it's bad, son Donnie is going to do what Vlad wants.
Which also, if I'm mistaken, I saw this in an article, Russia has mail-in voting.
Yes. There are countries, I believe there are at least 12 countries that have mail-in voting. And what about all our service members overseas?
Well, that's part of the group. I mean, it's, yeah.
We don't care about them. Right. They shouldn't get to vote.
I know Brian Schimming pretty well back in my Republican days, and I invited him on our show yesterday via Twitter. We follow each other on Twitter.
Really?
And I said, come on the show, because I said, look, when you called for Republicans to embrace and expand mail-in voting, I gave you credit for that. And I think, because I share Schimming's thought, I think, that all eligible U.S. citizens should be able to vote, and we should make it as accessible as possible.
Yes.
When I used to go out and speak on behalf of my former bosses, I'd say, hey, I don't care if you're going to vote Republican or Democratic or something else. Just vote. Exercise.
Get in the process.
Your Constitution. Yeah, exactly.
We're going to continue our conversation with our friend and colleague and travel companion, Todd Alba, host of The Todd Alba Show from 2 to 4 as he eats his cold pocket pancake. You're listening.
Live
to
your life, Todd.
Matt Nair on air on the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Good morning and welcome back to Matt Nair on air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Dominic Lee in for Calvin, coming to you live from our respective studios at Radio Park here in Racine and Civic Media's world headquarters, downtown Madison, just above State Street. That's where Dom is. We are joined by our friend and colleague and travel companion, Todd Alba, from the wonderful Todd Alba Show, 2 to 4 across the network. Coming up today on Todd's show, you're going to be talking about mental health, Todd.
Yeah, I thought we'd touch on this a little bit. I mean, I don't know. You guys have talked about it. We've talked about it. Other shows have talked about it. But there was a story I think it appeared in both the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel and the Wisconsin State Journal over the weekend that I don't think got enough play, which is that the former women's basketball coach, Coach Mosley at Wisconsin, is being sued by 5 former players along with former assistant athletic director Justin Doherty for mental abuse and saying they created a toxic environment in which to play. And Coach Mosley was allowed to quote unquote resign at the end of, pardon me, at the end of last season. And this comes after we had a reporter on a couple, 3 months ago talking about the death by suicide of a former University of Wisconsin track member, a woman. And so, you know, look, I think they're, you know, I went to a thing this summer here in Madison. Our mutual friend Kristen Bry hosted an evening with Monte Ball, former University of Wisconsin football star, and went on to play for Denver and dealt with addiction issues and now has been sober for several years, but an advocate. And that evening was so powerful because there were mental health experts from UW Athletics there that evening. And he was talking about, you know, you're 18, 19 years old.
So and much suddenly pressure.
You're a star, quote, you know. And even in that time, and remember, this is before NIL money. Yeah. And I think that what gets lost in today's athletics, and we, myself included, as fans, sit in the stand and say, how could you not catch that ball? You know, how could you not make that shot? And then there now you put on hundreds of thousands, if not in some case $1 million on these teenagers.
Yeah.
And then you have coaches, some, not all, because I think there are some coaches that are doing great with this, and it creates a really dangerous situation. So I want to delve into that a little bit on today's show.
It's really important. Mm-hmm. It is. And I think we forget they're kids. They're really just kids. That's a lot of pressure to deal with, and then you throw all that money in there, and then I'm sure there's family pressures.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
some of these kids have to become the breadwinner for the family at that point.
Yeah, exactly. And you're 100% right, Jane. And there are particularly, it seems to be more often than not, maybe lack of opportunities on the women's side, I don't know exactly, but particularly in football and men's basketball, Jane, you're exactly right. These kids, you know, in middle school, high school, are saying the only way for my family to get out, of poverty is for me to be a star. Yep. And this is all on me. And that's the way they look at it. Mm-hmm. Whether their family really thinks that or not.
Right, right. Well, it might be self-imposed pressure, but the pressure is there. Right. That should be a great show. Join Todd this afternoon from 2 to 4 as he talks about our athletes and mental health. And mental health, a much bigger discussion to have over many, many different areas. In the time that we have left, Todd, I do want to go back to the mail-in voting. Of course, Donald Trump met with Vladimir Putin on Friday, gave him a red carpet welcome. And Vlad says mail-in voting isn't safe, so now Trump wants to get rid of mail-in voting, and we have all the Republicans, surprise, who are jumping on board saying, yes, this needs to be looked at. We need to examine this. Even though there are Republicans who have said, thank God for mail-in voting last year, because that's what helped Trump win.
Yeah, and I appreciate you bringing it back because, as you guys know from traveling with me, Todd gets off on a tangent now and again. And I think I did not make one of my points was this coverage from CBS, not just them, but other networks. All they focused on was the kind of the Ukrainian nothing burger. They never went back and actually talked. I watched the CBS Evening News last night. What we're talking about right now was never even mentioned.
Yep.
Not even, let alone a story, never even mentioned, number one. So I think that mainstream media really is. Now you got MSNBC rebranding itself more Trumponian.
Yep.
That's a whole other kettle of fish. This is, I think, an important point. Derek Van Orten from the 3rd District in Wisconsin was going off on this, saying he's all in on Trump on getting rid of balloting. Whoa. I rarely tweet at Derek Trump. I rarely do this. But I said, Derek Van Orten, your at-risk GOP chair, at Brian Schimming, said participation in mail-in voting was critical to GOP having success. By all accounts, more Wisconsin Rs did compared to 20, And Trump won Wisconsin. Now Trump calls mail-in voting quote-unquote corrupt and says it has to be stopped, which would disenfranchise, to your point, Jane, deployed active-duty military and many disabled vets from voting. Who's right? And I think that I would just encourage folks as we move forward, myself included, is less harping and screaming and screeching and use the big word is cognitive dissonance. The everyday word is encourage people to look in the mirror. Encourage people to look in the mirror and say, does this line up with what you believe? Because, hey, if Derek Van Orden, I'll give him the benefit of the doubt, wants to support military, which I do as well, and veterans, which I do as well, then you shouldn't be for ending mail-in balloting because it takes away their right to vote.
Well, and then Jenny on the live stream says, anytime find themselves in a convo about mail-in voting, repeat, mail-in voting is absentee voting, like a broken record. And I understand that point, but at a certain point, those individuals aren't going to care. They're gonna start believing that the only way to vote is on the day, in person, and get rid of early registration as well.
And let's not forget that, is it Newsmax that just got fined $77 million for lying to their viewers about voting machines? Something to think about there. Thank you, my friend Todd. Alba, 2 to 4 today. We'll see you in a couple weeks. We have news coming up next. Stay with us. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.